Much of the South Bronx in New York City was burned out during the 1970s. And in this birthplace of hip-hop music, there is still a lot of poverty and a lot of crime, especially in terms of assaults and thefts. So you might think it would be the last place an idealistic, sustainable housing developer would plunk down a LEED-certified $100 million housing complex, but that's exactly what Jonathan Rose did in 2012. The Jonathan Rose Company won a design competition to create Via Verde, an affordable, energy-efficient, mixed-use housing development in the South Bronx, close to public transportation. We met in his office in Manhattan.
The design is fantastic. It enhances the neighborhood. It's a very, very green design. The building is tall in the north side and steps down as it goes further south. We did that on purpose to bring in as much southern sunlight as we could into the building. But we really tried to weave this fabric of green and nature and communal activity throughout the whole building. One of the things we did is we brought in Montefiore Hospital as a tenant and partner, really. And so they have created a community health center at the ground floor of the building. The building is very green, but it also has a theme of health that weaves through its entire being.
Via Verde means greenway in Spanish, and that's what strikes you when you walk in. There's grass and trees and a lush courtyard framed by a high-rise and a lower-step building where Living on Earth began its tour with architect Paul Freitag.
Well, I think what the Greenway really is, if we want to start walking up a little bit, was this concept of recapturing the site that we'd be building the thing upon by actually creating a whole series of green roofs. As you visited these green roofs, you'd actually be walking up through each of the gardens, and eventually you'll end up all the way up on the seventh floor with a garden that's right outside a fitness center.
And we've just come up the stairs to Christmas trees.
Right, so the stairs we came up actually aren't stairs. It's an amphitheater. And so at the base plane, we actually have a children's garden, and then there's this amphitheater that looks out over the garden. The amphitheater has been used for movie night, for concerts, for different community events within the building. But then you come up the amphitheater, we're now on top of the second floor, and here we have our Christmas tree garden. And this is actually the site of events that with the building sponsors in December, where the residents come and they actually make decorations and decorate the trees, and they sing carols.
So now we're headed up another level.
Right, so now this next garden is our orchard. And what we have up here is actually 12 apple trees. And these trees all bear fruit. If were we to be here in September or October, you would see them filled with apples. And they will bloom and they will be beautiful. So all the planters are actually benches. And so you can sit under the trees. And this is just a wonderful sort of space in which to enjoy the trees and also see the fruit that they produce. So we head from here up to the roof of now the fourth level. It's really the signature garden for the project. This is what we refer to as the community garden. And what we have up here, you'll see, are a whole series of planting beds that are planted by the Garden Club of Via Verde.
A garden club in the South Bronx.
Yes. No, it's a wonderful organization. One of the real goals here was to create an opportunity for, you know, particularly children to be able to see food grow, take pride in growing fine fruits and vegetables, and really understand the alternatives for healthy eating in comparison to, you know, fast food and other options, which unfortunately are often more available here in the South Bronx.
So how many folks live here?
Well, altogether, it's 222 units. I would guess that that translates to roughly, you know, between 400 and 500 people actually living here in Via Verde. So here we have our compost bins. And then here we also have our rainwater harvesting tanks. And as we walk up the next series of steps, you'll see how all the south-facing walls of Via Verde actually have PV panels on them. In the entrance, we actually have a readout panel that shows how much energy the building is generating at any point through its solar panels.
So you have a sign here by your stairs.
Right. So this is actually, it's referred to as a stair prompt. These are generated by the New York City Department of Health. And it shows a sort of generic figure, I guess, very happily walking up the stairs. And says, burn calories, not electricity. Take the stairs. Walking up the stairs just 2 minutes a day helps prevent weight gain. It also helps the environment. I think this sign, you know, very simple way, shows the different strategies that you can use to have the building itself really promote the health of the residents.
Penthouses are usually kept private for rich tenants, but the top floor of Via Verde is common space for anything from garden club meetings to receptions and birthday parties.
So here we are on the 20th floor, and the views are spectacular.
Whoa, look at this. You can see all the way over to the George Washington Bridge and downtown. Even the Empire State Building sticks its head up, and the new Trade Center building, is that possible to see? Yes, it is, even in the distance. We head back downstairs to meet one of the tenants.
Hi, Ms. Sanchez.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Paul Freitag from John Perez Company.
Nice to meet you.
Hi, I'm Steve Kerwood from Living on Earth, public radio program.
Have a seat.
No, thank you.
Thank you. So can I ask your name?
Dalia Sanchez.
And how long have you lived here?
I think I was one of the first ones to move in.
Why did you pick this place?
I have lived in housing for more than 20 years. And, public housing. The devastation there is horrible. The drug dealing was to die. And 3 months before they sent me my letter of acceptance, somebody got shot right in front of my door. So I said, I think you need to go. And here I am 2 years later.
So what's it like?
Wonderful. I have no complaints because every time I call, somebody comes around and take care of it. You give them a complaint and they come. So it's pretty good.
So tell me about your unit. You have, what, one bedroom here?
It's a one bedroom. It's huge and comfortable. I was taken aback. One bedroom apartments usually are tiny. My bedroom is huge. I got plenty of space. The bathroom is comfortable.
Now, there's got to be something that's a problem here.
My only issue was that they came and they took my Easter decorations last year. I was so angry. Then they come and take my Christmas decorations. But other than that, not a problem.
All right, well, thank you so much. It's very generous of you to open up your house like this.
Nice to meet you guys.
Back at the main entrance, we meet a cheerful, burly man who is busy accepting packages and checking to see that anyone who comes into the complex should be there.
My name is Julius Acevedo.
How long have you worked here?
I've worked here about a year. I'm the lead concierge.
So what's it like being concierge in the South Bronx?
Here it's wonderful. The tenants here are terrific. The neighborhood is what it is, but we feel like we're in a little bit of an oasis here in the middle of the Bronx. This building is unique. We have owners and renters here within the same facility. We're our own little community here. It's phenomenal. The people love it, and I love working here. It's just something different.
Worst thing about it?
I haven't found it. If there was a downside, is I wish there were more units available for the community. I have an inordinate number of people coming in here every day wanting to rent or buy, and it's just, we're full. It's 100% occupied.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Back at Jonathan Rose's office in downtown Manhattan, he explains why he chose to develop a Villa Verde in the South Bronx, famous for urban blight.
The competition that we won that led to Villa Verde was led by Sean Donovan, now the Secretary of HUD of the United States, then the Secretary of Housing of New York City. And he really wanted to see what was the best that could be done to advance community design and to advance the greenness of design of affordable housing.
How can green building help people of low and moderate income?
Energy savings of both location and energy efficiency have enormous economic benefits to our low-income and working-class families. Much affordable housing is of poor quality. That's one of the reasons why it's affordable. And many of the tenants are responsible for paying the utilities. What we've learned is if you can create a green building that's really well insulated, that's caulked and weather-stripped, the utility costs can be cut in half or two-thirds. That has enormous impact to their bottom lines. That may be the difference between whether they can afford to send their kid to an after-school program or not, whether they can sign up for health care or not.
What does the location and community, the space a building occupies, have to do with its environmental friendliness and public health profile?
Locating buildings in denser communities with more services around them, such as schools nearby that kids can walk to, having mass transit that gives people easy and affordable access to jobs, to job training, to continuous education, to arts and culture. Those have enormous social, communal, educational, and economic benefits. If the family lives in a city next to a subway line or a light rail line or a bus line, it's not only better for the environment, but they personally are saving often $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 a year So one of the things that we've learned in creating great cities is how important social networks are. The people who now live there, they're the ones who are gardening the building, creating events in the amphitheater. They're the ones who have taken Via Verde and made it a real community. And so the building itself was just a well-conceived platform upon which they can then create the fulfillment of their lives.
This is a time of great concern, whether it's climate disruption, chemical exposure, unsafe streets. What can you in this world of green design do to respond to this rather deep anxiety in our society?
To questions like that, I say the answer is urban. If you go back to the very beginning of history and the reason why cities first emerged, all over the world, they all emerged with a mission to actually create harmony between heaven and earth. They all grew up initially around a temple. A temple was always the first building in these very early cities. And their role was always somehow to harmonize these forces. And the role of their leaders were to harmonize these forces. Our cities, again, need to become the places that harmonize the forces of humans and nature to create happiness.
Now, the skeptics will say, you can't do that with steel and concrete. And you would say?
We have done it with steel and concrete, and we will continue, and we can only get better at it.
Jonathan Rose is the principal of the Jonathan Rose Companies. Thanks so much for taking this time.
Thank you, Steve. It's a great pleasure talking with you.